That's something I want to share with you this morning. Our standing in Jesus is made legal. I don't know if that resonates well with you. I have to tell you, at first, it didn't mean a whole lot to me. I probably relate more to being the bride of Christ, or I relate more to being a son or daughter. But that my relationship to God is legal, I got to look into it a little more. So I want to share some things that maybe will help you. The bottom line is that the ground that we're standing on has changed. We're on new ground. God in his mercy, when he was reaching out to us, didn't want us to receive what we deserved, didn't want us to reap what we had sowed, didn't want us to have the consequences of our decisions. He didn't want us to be caught up in the destruction and death of a cycle of curse that had been brought upon us. So God made a way for us to escape that curse and the fall. The scripture in Colossians 1:13 says, God has translated us, taken us out of the kingdom of darkness, and put us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And he didn't do this out of mercy and pity. He didn't do it by fudging it or just looking the other way and say, okay, go ahead on in while I'm not looking. No, he did it openly, publicly, legally. When God justifies us, he's righteous in doing it. God justifies the unrighteous, Hebrews 7:27. He, Jesus, who does not need to daily offer sacrifices as the priests in the Old Testament had to, in case you don't know, when the law of Moses was established and the sacrificial system was created, the priests would be offering sacrifices for the people in the morning and in the evening, day after day after day after day after day after day. And none of those sacrifices were good enough to completely cleanse them. So they had to take it the next day and do it again and do it again. So this scripture is saying that Jesus, not like the high priest who had to offer something daily for the sins of the people, but he did once for all when he offered up himself, take away our sins. He did it once and for all. He justified us through offering himself. Many of the scriptures that we're going to be looking at today are really legal document types of scriptures. They're jurisprudence. Big word. The law is just, however, in examining each one of us, and its ministry to us was condemnation and death. That's what the scripture calls it. It's a ministry of condemnation and death. Whenever you teach the law, whenever you're around it, you examine yourself, you examine others. We judge, and we judge others, and all of us fall short. We all miss it. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth should be stopped, and the whole world may become guilty before God. The whole world is guilty. The law is just, that's true. But God is just in justifying us, Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. That whole verse is telling you, it's legal. It's been made legal. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can stand against us? That verse has brought a lot of comfort to many of us. But I want you to understand where it's couched. It's couched on legal grounds. I was sharing on Wednesday, if I own a home, and many of you do too, and someone comes into your home without permission, we call that trespassing. And if you call the police are not going to arrest you. They're going to stand for what is legal, and they're going to arrest the trespasser. If the police be for you, who can stand against you? Do you get it now? If God be for you, and he is on legal grounds, who can stand against you? That's the context. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. God is the God of all, the judge of all, and it's his court, his throne, his judgment seat that all will stand before. He is the ultimate judge. And if God, the ultimate judge, decides, what are you going to do? What can you do? If he decides that you are not worthy to go into heaven, what can you say? What? You should let me in. On what grounds? The law condemns you. What grounds? Jesus. I'm on legal grounds. I'm on legal grounds. Forever. You are for me. You are not against me. Ever. That is the truth. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. This is legal. This is legal stuff. And furthermore, he is also risen, who is at the right hand of God the Father, who makes intercession for us. Here is the judgment seat of Christ. Here I stand. He says to me, what grounds do you have to enter into my kingdom? Jesus stands up from his right hand and walks over. He's mine. She's mine. And the Father says, that's all I needed to know. Done. You're in. You're on legal grounds. This isn't pity anymore. This isn't mercy anymore. He's not looking at you and I say, oh, I feel so sorry for you. Come on in. No, no, no. Jesus, come in. This was for you. This is for you. He paid it all. Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive. You know, in the Old Testament, the only way they could come to God was based on those sacrifices that had to be done morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening. And every relationship to God under the old situation, under the law, was based on mercy and pity. For none were righteous. No, not one. None. And the only way he related to them was based on mercy and pity. And you know, if you're based on that, how can I explain that? I guess I would look at it like this. If you're brought before a court and this is your first offense and they got you dead to right and you throw yourself at the mercy of the court. Ever heard of that? I'm at the mercy of the court. No contest. I'm guilty. And the judge looks at you and he says, first time offender, huh? You know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to give you leniency, that will produce in you a repentance that I'll never see you again. But what if he shows up again? And again. And again. And the judge looks at you and says, you know, son, this isn't your third or fourth or fifth. This is your sixth offense. I'm sorry. I got to throw the book at you. Take him away. Is that not the way it works? And in our sin consciousness, we go before Almighty God under the old situation. Mercy, mercy, pity, pity. And we all know we're guilty of sin, and we continue to sin again and again. And we sit there with our constant sin and thinking, eventually, even a holy God is going to say, enough, right? Enough. If that's where we stand, we're in trouble. But I want you to know that's not where we stand. We've been made alive. We were dead in trespasses and sin, and under that we needed mercy and pity. But now we've been made alive, and we're in Christ, and we stand in a legal position, and we don't need mercy and pity anymore. That's all been settled. You stand in a new place. You've been made legal. I'll explain some more in a few minutes. I love this verse, and I think you should know it well. Having wiped out all the handwriting of requirements that was against us. That means all your sins, according to the law, wiped out. He's not holding them against us. They're gone because of what Jesus did. Having taken that which was contrary to us away, taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed all principalities and powers, having disarmed all prosecution against you. That's grace. And it's legal. This is a legal action to satisfy the law. That's why Jesus is on the cross. And what does he say? It is finished. I came to fulfill the law, to satisfy the law. It was a legal transaction. To satisfy the law, to satisfy holiness, God's holiness, to satisfy the truth. You know, we can look the other way. We can act like something didn't go on. We can pretend. Not God. God's holy. God's just. Jesus came to satisfy all of that and to satisfy God. God is satisfied toward you because you did one thing. You accepted Jesus Christ into your life. And his life, which was righteous and holy, that was offered, substituted for your life that was unholy. And God says, I'm satisfied. I love that. I love that. He's satisfied toward you. You might be struggling. You might be thinking that God's not thinking you're worthy. You might be struggling with your sin, but God's not. And if you grasp what I'm sharing with you this morning, how he's made it legal, maybe you won't be struggling with your sin so much anymore. What is the significance? Have you ever noticed that legal is already decided, it's already been passed, it's already been implemented? The laws of the land around us, right? The laws are in force. We don't go to the courtroom and say, would you please create a law to protect me? No. The lawyer and the judge, they wrangle and judge over what has been done. What does legal mean? It's done. It's past tense, established. That's what it means. Decided, passed, and enforced, and has the authority to govern. I say has the authority because all of this, salvation, grace, this legal stance, depends on what you and I believe. It's up to what we believe. God can do anything. God's legal force can work for you according to the power that works in you, to what you believe. We've talked about in terms of other ways of trying to understand this grace that we're living in. Remember the bride of Christ, ministers of reconciliation, sons and daughters of God. All of these are God's ways of trying to reach us to understand what he's done, that we're not under law. We're under grace. All of this is to help us understand who we are in Christ now. And this is another powerful way, the legal aspect. Made legal, established, fixed, and rules eternally. Eternally, it's public, known, open, always already decided. Who decided? The heavenly lawmaker did. The supreme judge decided. Now he looks at you and says, What do you decide? Who is Christ to you? Where do you stand? We stand on legal grounds when we stand on our salvation. This is 1 John 2:1. It says, my little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin, but if anyone sins, we have an advocate. You know what an advocate is? That's a legal attorney. Jesus is your advocate on legal grounds. This is awesome stuff. If you go before a court, and you have a strong case, a strong legal case, The court judge will hear you. He will hear you and then decide for you. There's a, let me see if I can find that verse. Here it is. Down here, 1 John 5:14. Many of you know this one, right? You've heard of this one? Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Here's the judge of all the earth. Why are you coming before me? What are your petitions? You come on legal grounds? You come with advocacy, with legal grounds? You have a case, don't you? And you'll get a judgment in your favor. Have you ever heard of illegal aliens? How many of you have ever heard of illegal aliens? Do you know when they come before the court system? They have no legal ground. They're coming before the court based on mercy and pity. They have no legal grounds. If you go to court against someone who's an illegal alien and you're legal, your position is superior by far. Do you understand what I'm saying? But many Christians, when they go to God, still feel sin consciousness, still feel that God is angry at them, still feel that they're still under the law, and in that position, they might as well be illegal aliens. Brothers and sisters in Christ, coming to God with illegal alien understanding. And God is not pleased. What does an illegal alien do at the court? Please, 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 I beg you, I beg you, I beg you, would you please, 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 pity, 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 mercy, mercy, mercy. That's the way an illegal alien comes before the court. What does a citizen come? What does a legal citizen come? Your Honor, I have my rights. Hello? True? I have my rights. Let me state them for you. And what does the Word of God say? Put me in remembrance of my word. Stand on my word. Do you have a right to do that? Or are you still an illegal alien? An illegal alien has no rights. But if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're no longer illegal. You're legal. And as a legal, you can use the name of Jesus and you can remind the judge of all of the word, all of the law, that your rights are enforced and the judge has no... A righteous judge, mind you, has no recourse except to give you your rights. Do you hear me? How much more your Heavenly Father, who is holy and righteous and just, who gave you your legality through his Son, who, that scripture I read before, who freely gave us all things, will he not give you freely? Will he not judge on your behalf? Absolutely. Now we have this confidence. What confidence? That we're legal. That we have the name of Jesus to stand and declare in his name. And you know, I don't go to God in prayer as an illegal alien would, asking and begging and pleading. I go to God in prayer, standing in my rights and saying, thank you. Thank you for what Jesus has done for me. Now I'm going to use my rights and I'm going to declare them. I'm going to stand in them. That's what a son and daughter does. That's what a legal member does. You follow me? Now this is the confidence. What confidence? I'm legal. I have rights. I can stand in the presence of God as if I were the very Son of God himself. What? That's what 1 John 4:17 says. As he is, so am I in this world. When you're standing before the throne, Jesus might as well be standing there too. That's how much legal this is. And if you can grasp that, your confidence will soar. Oh my gosh, you mean when The Father hears me and hears me praying, that he hears Jesus, that he sees Jesus. You have as much right in his presence as Jesus does, because Jesus gave it to you. My wife, Mrs. Tate, can represent me in any way I could represent myself. That's how one we are. She has access to all of our funds, all of our credit cards, all, in fact, she kind of runs the bills. She's got more knowledge in it. She knows where stuff is. She could exercise it better than I could. I'd be like, where is it? You are a bride. You have his name. You are his bride. You stand in his stead. And before the Father, you are not diminished one iota because of what Jesus did. Can you grasp that? Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. I don't know about you, but sometimes I thought that was kind of unfair. We kind of got born into this, right? I wasn't in the garden. I didn't make that decision. Whoa, how come I got it going here? It's mine because of what he did. Anybody with me on that? You wake up with sin nature, you're in trouble with God, you're alienated, you don't even know God when you're born. Is that fair? Come on! Is that fair? Because of what Adam did, you're nailed with sin. Because of what Adam did, you're in trouble. You can go to hell. One man? Flip it. Even so, just as much, even more so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men. As unfair as we being sinners because of Adam's deed, it's just as unfair that we have been made righteous and legal through what Jesus did. As bad as the one is, look how good the other one is. Are you with me? We understand legal authority and our faith will soar, our confidence. I've addressed that somewhat. I've used the menu thing. Remember the menu and the restaurant thing? They already decided you go in an order, right? You don't go up to the owner and say, please, please, would you make me a cheeseburger? You're at McDonald's. Do you make them? You just go, give me a cheeseburger. Old Testament, would you make one? Please beg pity. New Testament, give me a cheeseburger. Do you see the difference? Prayer has changed because you're on legal grounds. You're a son and daughter. My sons and daughters that are grown and married can still walk into my house to this day. They don't have to knock. They don't have to ring the doorbell. Mom, Dad, we're here. They can walk right in. Why? Sons and daughters. Is that true for you? Strangers have got to knock. Illegal aliens have got to knock. You don't have to knock. You don't have to knock. You don't have to seek. You don't have to ask anymore. Do you get this? Under the Old Testament, you had to ask. Jesus said, if you ask, you'll find. If you seek, you'll get it. You knock, the door will be open to you. I know you and I've talked about that. When you became born again, man, it all changed. You got it. You have legal standing. You don't got to knock. You don't got to ask. You just need to make an order. Just place an order. Just place an order. Just speak to the mountain. Just speak to the cancer. Speak to it. We are not illegal aliens coming to God. We've been born again, and we have this thing called faith. How many of you have ever heard of that word, faith? Do you know in the Old Testament, that's not even mentioned? Faith is not a thing in the Old Testament. You know why? Because it ain't legal. They're sinners separated from God. They can't exercise faith. They can believe, but they can't exercise faith. But see, maybe you don't know what faith is. Maybe you do. According to the scripture, faith is the substance, the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence, legal grounds of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. Faith knows something. You know, as a son or daughter, you know something. As an illegal alien, you don't know much. Right? When you're on legal grounds, you know you're on legal grounds. You know you have the authority and the right to speak. You know something. Faith knows. We've been given the gift of faith because we've been given sonship. We've been given legal status. There is no doubt. You've been born again. You're a new creation. Are you getting this? You get to operate in faith. Faith casts out all fear because faith works through love, and you've been given love. And why have you been given love? Because you are legal. You're legal. It's because we are citizens of heaven, sons and daughters, based upon the truth, we can operate in faith. Repeat offenders? Yeah. How many of us sin and sin again? But how many of us know that Jesus paid it all? And we've been born again. In our born-again spirit, we don't sin. It's just the old man. And we died to that. We're no longer living to that. Under the old, we stood as outcasts, alienated, and separated from the benefits of the kingdom. I'm taking the time. Memorial Day, you're off tomorrow. The Syrophoenician woman. I got to tell you this story real quick. The woman of Canaan came from the region of Tyre and Sidon and cried out to Jesus, said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he didn't answer a word. How many of you have ever read this account? Ever wonder why he didn't answer a word? Because she wasn't legal. She wasn't even in the covenant. She was a Gentile. She wasn't in the covenant. He didn't answer a word, and the disciples came and urged him, say, "Send her away. She's crying after us. Do something with her nuisance." She kept bothering him. "Mercy, mercy, pity, pity, pity. No standing, no standing. But I know something about you, Jesus. I know something about you." We're going to find out. And he answered and said to her, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You're Gentiles. You're a Gentile. I wasn't sent to you. On legal grounds, you have none. I don't even have to hear you. An illegal alien comes into the court. The judge sees what's going on. There's nothing here. See ya. There's no legal grounds. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Stay with me. Stay with me. I got some good stuff to give you yet. She says, "Help me." How many of you still pray, "Help me"? Be honest. You're still praying as if you're an illegal alien. You're legal. You're in the kingdom. He has helped you. Can you make the switch? Can you see what he's done? Old Testament, "Help me." New Testament, "I've been helped." That's grace. "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. It's not good to take what's legal and belongs to the sons and daughters and throw it to the illegal aliens." That's what he's saying. And listen to this. And she says, "Lord, yes, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Oh, I don't know about you, but I get God bumps when I hear this conversation. How did she know to keep coming? Did she know something about Jesus? Did she know something about God that maybe many of us don't know? Even the crumbs. And Jesus then answered it and said to her, and I this is the way I hear it, "Oh, woman, yeah, oh, woman, way to go, way to keep coming, way to not give up. Yeah, I'm here for the lost house of Israel, but I'm here for you too, and you'll see someday. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed. Under the Old Testament, God still had mercy and pity, and even the crumbs would heal. Even the crumbs would heal and deliver. Even the crumbs from the table would do the job. Now, think about this. You're not in the crumbs no more. You've been made legal. You're at the table. There ain't nothing holding you back. Nothing, if you believe. And you've been made a believer. I love this story. Jesus was legally right to ignore her. She was not a covenant woman. The crumbs. Many today feel that they are still dogs in relationship to God. I shared a message not too long ago. I got a booklet that says, how do you see your relationship to God? Do you see yourself as a servant, a slave? Or do you see yourself as a son or daughter? Do you see yourself as illegal or legal? Their salvation is like a crumb from the master's table. God, if you're not busy, please. Hello. Kind of what we've been brought up in, maybe. They see themselves as second-class citizens at best. I remember my mom had that attitude. She was a woman. She knew she had a second-class relationship with God. Men are in a superior role. Nonsense. Nonsense. In Christ, there's neither male nor female, slave or free. We're all one. Illegal aliens to sons and daughters. In the old situation, we needed to ask for mercy, pity, and help. Under grace, the legal established new covenant, we passed from aliens to sons. As sons and daughters, we have legal right to everything Jesus provided. He has helped us. We stand as Jesus stands before the Father, no less, no more. That's the truth. It's legal. I'm not a lawyer. Didn't go to law school. But, you know, we still deal with the law, don't we? And we have with this process through this church. Well, we stand, as brothers and sisters, we stand together against the things that are wrong. Cancer, burns. You with me? Are you legal? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that Christ consciousness will be birthed, strengthened, and encouraged in our lives today. And we will dismiss that sin consciousness, that illegal alien consciousness, that unworthy consciousness, and accept and assert that we've been made alive and translated into a new kingdom. We are no longer of the old, we're of the new. By grace, by God's decree, by God's legal action, by God's authority, by God's judgment, what say we? And we say, amen. We say, amen. We've been made legal. We've been made sons. We have a right to declare in His name. We don't ask for help. We thank Him for the help we've received already, and we use it in His name. Amen. Amen.